I've got a message on me today. I know people don't like preachers to preach political messages. And I'm not preaching a message politically as much as I am preaching a message that if churches had done their job and preachers had preached what they should have preached, we wouldn't be in the political mess that we're in today. We're supposed to be a Christian nation. There's all kinds of people that's getting ready to vote in this election that calls themselves Christian. And yet they're voting just contrary to anything that a true Christian would be willing to tolerate. And just like we was saying there in Sunday school, you know, we become a partaker in that we uphold for. And if we're supporting a party that is upholding for the killing of a baby, then we become guilty. Every baby that is killed, that party gives the power to and allows it, we also begin to have a part in that. And you and I'm by me speaking up, might not make a bit of difference. I called people and told them, if you vote such and such a way, I will never vote for you again, although they were of my party that I'm associated with. But I told them, I said, I have a long memory. And if you vote this way, I will remember it no matter how many more elections it is out there that you're running in. You and I, we need to tell our political people just such as that. We have standards. We're not willing to compromise. We're not going to forgive because you betray us on this issue. And if we don't, we become a partaker. And it's time for people to wake up. And listen to this. First, I want to read just a verse in the fifth chapter of Ecclesiastes. The fifth chapter in the very first verse, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Now, that is not what our message is on, but that stood out to us in this. You know, I'm afraid there's a whole lot of sacrifice of fools being made in America today, even before a preacher that will tell people the truth, because we choose not to hear. And God is telling us in His Word for us to open our ears, open our eyes, and listen to what God has to say. And if the preacher won't preach it to us, we can't say, well, my preacher didn't preach that. You've got the Bible 6 other days during the week for you to read. And you should be reading it and spending some time in it. And if you're not, you are without an excuse. And when we stand before God, we'll be judged thereby. All right, in Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, and if you read this chapter, it's only 22 verses, put your marker there and read this chapter sometime when you get home. I love it because it starts off in the third chapter. And it says, to everything there is a season. And it goes down telling you, a time for every purpose under the heaven. And it gives you all kinds of things. There are a time to die. Let's just read it. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which was planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rent and a time to sow. A time to keep silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. Time of war and a time of peace. And you know, here it told us all of these, and each and every one of us, we're living in a day and a time when people just think that anything that a person deems as being all right is okay. But God didn't say that. And you and I today, because sin just seems to be running rampant, God lets us know there is a time for that, but there's also going to be a time for judgment. And America better wake up. But in this third chapter of Ecclesiastes, the 16th verse, "Moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment, that wickedness was there, and the place of righteousness, that iniquity was there. And I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time for every purpose and for every work." Now, there is a time for every purpose and for every work. And you and I today, man just seems to think that time is on our side and that we can do what we please with the time that we're given. But I'm 63 years old, the oldest one here, and I find my time is just about gone. And I realize there is not one thing in this world that's worth giving up the time that I have except living it for God. Why? Because when my life is over, only the things that I do for God is what's going to amount to anything. That's all that's going to count is that was done for God. And here in the first part it said, "Moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment, that wickedness was there, and the place of righteousness, that iniquity was there." Most people don't think of the place of judgment. What did that mean? Did that mean the wickedness where God is? No. That wasn't what God was talking about. And if you turn over into 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, and the 17th verse, it said, "And the time has come that judgment must begin in the house of God. And if it first begin, and us what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God?" You and I today, what's wrong with America? Judgment has disappeared. Back there in Ezekiel, it's full of wickedness, it's sin, it's the things that displease God. That's what's in our church house today, because man will not stand up and call sin sin. We've got preachers in America that won't stand up and say abortion is wrong, it's murder, why? Because somebody might be offended, somebody because I'm getting political. God wants it to cry loud and spare it on and to tell our people what the truth is. And it's time to wake up and realize in our churches today the judgment of God is not going out. You know, there was a time in my life I can remember when preachers would get up and preach a message and people said, "Was hell fire and brimstone?" And somebody would get mad and they'd go down the road and go to another church. Well, they'd hear the same thing. Today, if you hear a message that would be referred to as hell fire and brimstone, you can find you 100 churches that will never preach it.
That's right.
Does that mean it don't apply? No, that means that the devil put the blinders on 100 preachers. That means the devil has stopped their ears so they no longer hear what God has to say. They order their messages or they get it out of doctor so-and-so. We need more time in the Word of God and on our knees praying and talking to God. The body of what God wants to hear and to open our mind and heart. God, we quit listening. He said, "Ready to speak to the ancient order and show us what he requires." And if, listen to this again, For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin in us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? Does anybody hear today what the end of somebody is that don't obey the gospel? You know, you'll hear good messages. That feel-good message from a lot of preachers. I heard them interviewing a man on TV that's got one of the biggest churches in Texas. And his church was growing, so they went and got what used to be a basketball stadium or something. And they redone it, and they're ready to outgrow it. And what does he preach? He said, I tell people what they need to hear to make them feel good. God said, cry loud and spare not. You and I, sometimes to feel good, first you got to have your back whipped real good. And maybe a little salt poured in that wound before you're ready for your heart to leap for joy. You know, when I was a kid, I felt one of the harpers say that I could ever experience was being disobedient. That's something Dad told me. And I found it on a wrath to come with it. A punishment, a whipping that brought great discomfort unto me. But it told me something that with obedience comes great pleasure and joy. The world today, we never preached at all about the wrath of God. We never told them about there's a consequence for sin. Oh, it's all right. You're a child of God. God won't deny it. He won't deny it. If you're walking in the center of it, well, but get out of that will. And he said, you're bastard and not son. It's time today we wake up and realize God is holding us responsible for the choices we make and for the life we live. And there's a time for every purpose. And I believe today it's time that America wakes up. It's time the Christian people get the blinders off. It's time we get about the Father's business. We don't have much time left. This election could be the thing that closes down our freedom in America big time. Why? Because the side that seems to be ahead right now would love to close down that Christian right. They have already tried to get the fairness doctrine through. And if they get it through, if they win and they have control of the House and the Senate, they'll get that passed. And that means every radio station that puts out a message from a preacher or from anybody on a subject that is indeed a strong topic, that person that disagrees with it can come and require equal time. And those that concern it have to pay for their they'll be required to get equal time. Give it unto them. How many radio stations are going to find it unprofitable to do that? So what will be the easiest thing? Close down that Christian road. Boy, they don't have the opportunity to speak. And when good people stand silent, give up their right, then they will be taken away. God won't teach you the word to wake up. We need to come back to this and recognize our churches need to be on fire for God in telling it just like it is. He said, moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment, that wickedness was there, and the place of righteousness, that iniquity was there. You know, it hasn't been long back. I can remember a preacher that was highly respected in America by a lot of people. And twice he got caught with a prostitute. And I can remember a statement that was reported that he made. He hoped that he had learned what God was trying to teach him out of that. God didn't put him in a whorehouse to teach him anything. He put himself there because he had not learned what God had been trying to teach him. And that righteousness exalts anybody, but sin is approach to anybody. You and I today, we need to come back to that and open our eyes and we might say, sin is not something that's going to be overlooked by God. And we need to quit overlooking it ourselves and our members and our churches today. Churches all over this land and country is doing everything they can to draw in the young people. Have every kind of activity that they can get to entice them to come. But the thing that we need to entice them with is the love of God. That God loves them and He wants to save them. Not that they can come and enjoy the world in the church, but that God's got a better way with a better happiness than anything that they can find in the world. That it said here in the 18th verse of 1 Peter, and if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? That one verse right there lets me know that me, as good as I can live, I have no place to step back and stick my chest out and say, I've got it done. He said, if the righteous scarcely be saved. You and I, each and every day of our lives, we need to take the example that Paul gave. I die daily. The Bible said for us to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You and I today, at our very best, we can say nothing, but we have done our reasonable service. And if it's anything less than that, we're going to stand before God and be found guilty. Why? Because right here He said, for the time has come that judgment must begin in the house of God. You and I, if it's not going forward, then we should try and find out why, what's wrong, what's changed. God's Word has to change. You know, I had a man to tell me, which was a preacher a long time ago, and he said, I can't understand that. God has never given me a message out of the book of Revelation. And if He's not going to give me one, I don't think He's going to give any other preacher one. But when it all comes down to, there was so much in the Revelation, He didn't begin to understand, and it just confused Him. So He never took time to read it. He never got on His knees and prayed and said, God, what do you mean by that? What does it mean? Well, do I need to do that I might understand it? If we don't understand something in God's Word, don't come and ask me. Go get on your knees and pray and talk to God, and God will show you if you're honest in heart. But if you choose not to obey, when you stand before God, you're not going to have an excuse. And in that third chapter there, as we was reading to you, a time, if there's ever been a time today for Christian people to stand up, it's now. You know, I can remember in my lifetime, I'm 63, but in my lifetime, I can remember people saying prayer will never be taken out of school. It was. I can remember hearing them saying they'll never take the Bible out of school. It was. I can remember hearing people say they won't take the Ten Commandments off the walls. They did. America, we better wake up. People saying today, it don't matter what party gets in. They ain't going to change the way that America is. They will. I know a man that is a person that wants to hunt, you know, and yet I know people that he supported and voted for that was against gun rights in America. He said, I know that's what they, but it ain't going to happen. You know, I mean, that's stupid. If you know somebody disagrees with something, why would you ever vote for them? If you know somebody thinks it's all right to commit abortion and kill babies, even kill those that survive the abortion, and don't do anything to save that baby's life afterward, and you disagree with that, why would you ever vote for that person? If that is your core belief, why would you ever vote for them? How could you ever vote for them? Except you deny what you say you really believe. In America, there's people that's willing to trade what they say they believe as Christianity, that they might have a program that will put more money in their pockets. You and I today, we got a God and He said, I will supply your needs. But first of all, before that's going to apply, we've got to be willing to live for God and put Him first in our life. And it's time to come back if America don't wake up. The freedom that we have in this country today will very soon be gone. And each and every one of us, after it's gone, you can't get it back. Why? Because they've tried several times to get Bible and prayer back in school. But you can't get it there. Why? Because once you lose something, it's so hard to get it back. I've seen things come up on ballot that was voted on and defeated time and time again. But once it won, you would never be able to get it back on the ballot again. The overturn it won. It's just something that water's already gone under the bridge. You can't get it back again. Americans, we give up our freedom here in America when we quit standing for God. And it goes on bad. We can't get it back. It may be too late for our children to hear the gospel preached and to hear somebody stand and tell them that a life of sin will lead you to hell. You know, if the righteous scarcely be saved, where's the sinner and the ungodly going to appear? You and I today, if our life, and we're living it the very best we can, and when we come short, God deals with us and lets us know that we failed, we said something, we done something that was wrong. And for us to get the Spirit the way it should be in our life, we have to get on our knees and repent of that. Why do we think that our children that's living a life of sin is going to get by? God has no respecter of person. Me, when I stand before God, He's going to judge me the same way as He will you. Neither one of us, because my mama and my daddy love me better than your mama and your daddy loves you. When I stand before God, that ain't going to make no difference. We're going to be judged on how we loved God, how we lived for God. Do you know how God knows how much you love Him? How obedient you are unto His Word. How you treasure that Word. You know, I was talking to some young boys this week about some abuse of some toys. And one told me, well, they have money they can buy. And I told them, that's not the point. You know, a lot of people in America, we have been so blessed, we can't see how blessed we are till someday we wake up and it's all gone. And you know, we can abuse toys and stuff because we don't realize how much they cost. We might have a dollar in our pocket and we're abusing and tearing up a $20 toy. Well, I got a dollar. But when you tear that one up, that dollar ain't going to replace it. There's all kinds of people in America that think, I go to church every week. I'm associated with the Free Will Baptist. That's a spiritual denomination. Well, I hate to bust your bubble. It may have been at one time, but the Free Will Baptist is not what they used to be. And neither is any other denomination I know of in America. They have all fell to what they were at one time. And is it because God has changed? No. It's because we abuse that God gave us. And we're to the point now, I'm afraid in America, we don't have what it takes to get back to that. Too much pride has slipped in. Too much selfishness. Too much of a desire for the things of the world. We've let slip in to where we've come to the place where the pulpits should be full. You know, I could not tell you how many times I've heard people say, we've hired us a preacher. We don't hire a preacher. God calls him. And God should be the one that chooses who goes into the pulpit. And if he's there for the money you're paying him, you ain't getting very much. He should be there because he loves God. And because he cares enough for you that he will tell you the truth whether he gets a dime or not. And if he's there for any other reason, he's wasting his time and he's wasting your time. And we need to go back to where God is first. Then maybe we'll get the judgment back in the house of the Lord. We need to quit thinking, I had a deacon to tell me of the first church I pastored. This deacon, when we was having a problem and he wasn't getting his way, and I told him, I said, you and your wife is only two votes. Everybody else in the church vote counts just as much as yours. He wasn't happy with that because he was in business. He made good money. His wife had a job, she made good money, and he let me know real quick. Me and my wife pays more into the church than the rest of the whole congregation altogether. I said, that money's God's. That ain't for your vote to get you more any more privilege. It's what the majority of the church votes on. And he ended up getting mad and leaving. The money we give to the church does not give us a greater vote or power in the church. And if God has blessed us with all of that, we should appreciate it and hold that much more to the strict teaching of the Word of God. The more God blesses us, we should get closer and closer to God. But that don't seem to be the way it works with most of the people in the United States. The more they're blessed, the less God means to them and the less they feel that they need Him. Each and every one of us, please, I beg you, listen to these scriptures that we read to you. Realize, today in your life is the time for you to get on fire for God as never before. Today in your life is the time for you to wake up and realize God's Word was sent just for you. You know, unless we can see that God loved me enough that the plan of salvation was sent for me and would have been sent if I'd have been the only one. That's how much God treasures you. Do you realize there's people, you'll hear them say, it took a drop of God or Christ's blood just to cleanse me. No, it didn't. It took every bit of it. It took every bit of it. You know, when you throw a load of wash in a washing machine, You can't say, well, this little bit of water is to clean this garment, and this little bit of water is to clean that garment, and this little bit of water is to clean that one. It takes it all to clean all of them, doesn't it? Me and you, it took all of the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse each and every one of us. Why? We have to accept that complete sacrifice that He gave for us. That perfect lamb. And if we can't do that, we stand before God, we're going to be standing there lost. Because Christ, He bought us with a price that me and you was not worthy of. Only God seen the value in us that He thought we was worthy of it. But we weren't. And if we think that God owes us something because of who we are, we're sadly mistaken. God owes us what He gave us because of His great love to us, not because we earned anything or deserved anything. If God had to give us justice, as we were studying in Sunday school, that's where that long suffering, that's where that great patience all comes from God. If He had to give man what we deserved, when man fell in the garden, He would have destroyed it right there and started over. But God was long-suffering and patient toward that He had created. And me and you, whether we're related here as far as anybody knows, we are. Because it started from Adam and Eve. And whether we want to recognize it or not, if we're a born-again Christian, no matter what nationality that a person is, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. And if we haven't been born again, no matter what nationality we are, we're on our road to hell. Because Christ is the only one that made it possible that we could be saved. And we must accept that plan of salvation. While we get some song to sing, if you're here and your heart's not right with God, will you come? If there's something in your life that God has let you know is not pleasing unto Him, now's the time to do something about it. I'll tell you for a fact, a temper tantrum, bad language, just being a spoiled brat, being disrespectful to parents, all of these things is sin in the sight of God. Little children, they think, well, you know, I can tell mom and daddy a lie and it's all right because they don't know the truth of it. But you're not standing before God being judged by what mom and daddy knows. You're standing there being judged by what God already knows about you. And when we stand there, that lie we thought nobody knew about, God knows. That curse word that you didn't think nobody heard, God heard it. You know, I've seen people say stuff and then look around and see if anybody was around that might have heard it because it slipped out when they didn't intend to say something that bad. But why did it slip out? Because they wasn't where they're supposed to be with God. You know, my granddad, he used to have a saying, you can't help the birds that fly over your head, but you can keep them from building a nest in your hair. And what he meant by that, you can't help that thought that the devil puts in your mind, but you can keep it from lingering until it becomes sin. A lot of times the devil will put a thought that comes through your mind, but you don't have to put it into action just because he put a thought there of a word. That don't mean you have to say it. You're supposed to have your mind and your body in control. And what comes out our lips is what we let become in our heart, isn't it? While we sing, will you come? Don't fool yourself by thinking that you're doing good enough. If God has showed you that there's something there's wrong, get on your knees and repent. I guarantee you, When you make it to heaven, you'll not regret 1 minute you spent on your knees asking God for forgiveness for anything. You will never regret those hours spent on your knees in prayer talking to God. Will you come?